The National Security Administration spying saga has taken yet another new turn. Now, former supporters of surveillance programs are coming out against it, or at least some aspects of what the NSA is doing, including Wisconsin Representative Jim Sensenbrenner, who co-authored the Patriot Act, and Senator Dianne Feinstein of California.
And a group of lawmakers has authored a new bill to reform the NSA. And we want to know what you think about this surveillance program. Is it necessary for U.S. security, or is it a violation of our rights, and why? How would you like to see the NSA reformed? You can reach us at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Or you can post your thoughts on the Central Time Facebook page.
Kurt Opsahl joins us now. He's senior staff attorney for the Electronic Frontier Foundation. Kurt, thanks for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure to be here.
So among the other pieces of news in the last couple of days, as we mentioned, a lot of lawmakers, including Jim Sensenbrenner from Wisconsin, turning against the NSA, so in some cases, people who have defended it for a long time. Are you surprised by this turnaround?
I think, as the more information has come clear about what the NSA has been doing and how much the Congress has been informed or hasn't been informed, as this becomes more clear, it's not surprising that there'll be less and less support.
And what kind of changes are you expecting in this new bill introduced by Representative Sensenbrenner in the House, Senator Patrick Leahy in the Senate? What would change for the NSA?
Well, the new bill just came out today. It's a positive first step, and it's got a lot of great attributes in it, but we're actually still in the process of analyzing it. So we just want to make sure, though, as we look at it, that the government can't distort it, as they have with some other language, to allow for bulk collection. But that's certainly what Leahy and Sensenbrenner are trying to do, is stop bulk collection.
Well, let's talk about that bulk collection you mentioned, revelations from the Edward Snowden leaks coming out for months now, including massive data collection from phone records, online records. What to you is most worrisome about that big data collection from the NSA?
Well, I think it's the unconstitutionality that really is the worst, that we have we're a nation of laws. We set up a constitution that was designed to be a check on executive power and what Congress can authorize, and to authorize, both for Congress to try and authorize and the executive to go even beyond that for warrantless surveillance of millions of ordinary Americans is quite disturbing.
That's been one of the arguments here, back and forth, what the NSA has been doing. People have been saying is legal under the Patriot Act, but you're saying that Congress exceeded its authority in making that legal?
Well, I mean, I think actually it's both illegal and unconstitutional. I mean, it's unconstitutional in that it goes beyond the Fourth Amendment. It actually has a chilling effect on First Amendment protected activities. But in addition, the interpretation of the Patriot Act is ludicrous.
How do you see this hurting us on a daily basis? You mentioned it's chilling. It hurts our privacy. Why should the average American be worried about this?
Well, privacy is really about the right to be left alone, to be able to go about your affairs without the government looking over your shoulder, seeing everything that you do, and be able to take some of these things out of context or doing things to make you look bad. I mean, one of the things we saw from some of the recent leaks was a practice apparently common enough that they had a nickname for it called LoveInt, a play on words on SIGINT, which is for signals intelligence. LoveInt was when NSA analysts were checking out what was going on with their ex-lovers, their former boyfriends and girlfriends, using these spying superpowers.
That's a case of individual abuse there, but defenders from within the NSA, within the American intelligence community, say we may not like it, but we need this. We need to go sorting through all this data to help prevent terrorist attacks, one of which could be very devastating if we don't prevent it.
Well, I mean, first of all, invoking the mantra of national security is not a skeleton key that unlocks the Constitution. The Constitution is a document that protects us all, and that's actually what the government should be fighting to defend. But even if you take that on its own terms, they have not made a particularly credible case that these programs have been very effective. At first, when trying to defend the surveillance program, they said, "Oh, it was helpful in 54 circumstances." And after some questioning, they dropped that number down to 12 or so circumstances. And then after further questioning and investigation, they dropped that down to 2. And now they're kind of relying mostly on one circumstance, which was that somebody was trying to send $5,000 to somebody in Somalia.
Let's go to our callers now at 800-642-1234. We have Jake with us in Milwaukee. Jake, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, yeah, I think it's just a lesson that no matter what your ideology is, being, you know, liberal, conservative, or whatever, that there is a, you know, as your guest is saying, there is a separation of powers, and that no matter who's in office at the time, when the legislature gives away their oversight power to the executive branch, it's just going to concentrate it, and it's just going to be abused. So, I mean, it's happening in this state and other states, and it's happening on the federal level, and I think it just really needs to be brought back. And the ideological, political, as in party side of it, needs to be taken away. It needs to be looked at a constitutional level. So that's all I got to say.
All right. Thanks for the call, Jake. Kurt?
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I mean, the opposition to the NSA surveillance program has been bipartisan. As you can see, the bill that was introduced today was from the Democratic Senator Patrick Leahy and Republican Congressman Sensenbrenner. And Sensenbrenner actually was one of the authors of the Patriot Act. You know, he's no weak-kneed liberal, as you might say, is been a strong supporter of the NSA until he found out that they were abusing the powers and going beyond it. So I think there is a lot of actually bipartisan to this, and it really is not the traditional party divides.
How worried are you about the transparency in particular? Not so much what the NSA is doing, but what we know about what the NSA is doing.
You know, one of the greatest sort of challenges here has been the lack of transparency, especially about secret law, is that in a secret court, the FISA court, that meets in a electronically and sound shielded room that no one can get access to, they were interpreting the meaning of the law. And the law, you know, in this case, was saying that things had to be relevant to an authorized investigation. And on the basis of the phrase relevant, they decided that every single phone call of everybody in America all the time was relevant to an investigation. And that, you know, there's no difference between that and not having the word relevant in the statute. It's an extreme interpretation of the law. But we had no idea that interpretation existed because it was done in a secret court and the legal opinion was classified. Secret law is anathema to a free society.
We're talking to Kurt Opsahl. He's senior staff attorney for the Electronic Frontier Foundation, talking about the NSA and a turn in Congress. People used to be defending the NSA, now saying, hey, we need a law to restrict and have more transparency in their surveillance programs.
And what do you think? Do you think Congress should limit the surveillance powers of the NSA? And how would you like to see the NSA reformed? You can call us at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or post your thoughts on our Facebook page. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network. This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation about the National Security Agency and surveillance with Kurt Opsahl from the Electronic Frontier Foundation. Some of the latest news, a group of people in Congress, both houses, are introducing a law to reform what the NSA can do.
And we're welcoming your calls now. Do you think Congress should act to limit the powers of the NSA? What do you think of recent news about NSA surveillance showing that the agency is out of control? Do you agree with that? Or do you think they're doing something that actually needs to be done for national security? What is your take? And how would you like to see the NSA reformed? You can call us at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. And you can also speak your mind on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll go back to the phones now. We have Sean on the line in Madison. Sean, hi. You're on the air.
Hey, show. As always, fantastic guest. I just wanted to make a quick observation. I was listening to On Point this morning on Wisconsin Public Radio's Ideas Network, and I heard their guest was quoting the lovely representative Mike Rogers, who is basically chastising Europe in general for not appreciating the fact that we're listening to other conversations or all this metadata. And he kept stating over and over again, and I've been reading this, that they're not listening to content. They're not recording content. They're just getting metadata. And that makes me think of two things. Number one, I bet they're lying. And number two, even if they're not, gathering all this data, they're getting their foot. It's like the camel getting its nose in the tent. They will be listening to content. And if they don't see, and everyone keeps saying, this is not Orwellian. We're not spying on our citizens. But they don't see, they're missing the whole point of literature and metaphor, which is that, yes, they're moving in that direction. It's just a matter of time. And by the time they get there, we will have already conceded the fact that they shouldn't be doing it in the first place. So I'll take comments while I'm off the phone. Thank you so much. Have a good day.
Thanks for the call. Sean, Kurt, that distinction, is it okay if they track metadata, who's calling who and when, versus actually recording and listening in on phone calls?
You know, metadata is extraordinarily intrusive. It is actually, it's easier for them to develop a profile about you by analyzing your metadata than to listen on your phone calls. To listen to the phone calls for a human, that's incredibly time-consuming. To have a machine do it, they have to, you know, sort through accents, different, you know, low-quality connections, try and figure out what you said. But looking at your metadata, they can get the patterns of your life. They know when you're sleeping and when you're awake by what times you're making calls and using the internet. They know if you're in a relationship with somebody because of the frequency of calls, the duration, and the time that they have. If you were then calling up places like Planned Parenthood, they have some idea of what's going on in your life, or if you're calling an HIV testing center. By looking at the metadata, they have a far more complete picture of the intimate details of your life than virtually anything that the world has ever seen. So to say it's just metadata really is just trying to dodge the issue.
Thanks for the call, Sean. I'll go back to the phones in just a moment. Kurt, I wanted to ask, at the Electronic Frontier Foundation, you're involved in legal cases related to the NSA. What kind of challenges are you raising in particular?
Absolutely. So we're involved in two cases against the NSA right now. One of them is challenging the collection of your data under the Fourth Amendment, the statutes themselves, saying it goes beyond the statutes. And the other is adding a new First Amendment angle to it, where we're representing a variety of associations who want to have their member lists private, but the NSA is able to obtain them by seeing the phone records of who they call and who they're in touch with.
All right, we'll go back to the phones now. Rick is with us in Grafton. Rick, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. My comment is probably an unpopular one. I think times have changed somewhat since the Constitution, obviously, and I think that machines, I've been in technology 30 years, and I think that they could make it so that a human isn't needed unless the conversation turns threatening. Now, I know there's some challenges there, but voice recognition software is making huge leaps and bounds. And I think that kind of like the telephone equipment's listening to our conversations, but we don't really care, to allow the artificial intelligence to listen and then flag any type of suspicious activity.
All right. Thanks for the call, Rick. I don't know if I won't say it's popular or unpopular, but Rick is definitely not alone in making that argument, Kurt.
Well, it comes down to do you trust the people who are making this AI? Do you trust them to have them do it properly? It's all about trust us. So even if it's computers that are listening in, it's the people who program it, who decide what the computers are listening for, that you have to trust to decide to do the right thing with the information. And one of the things that is part of our Constitution, I think has been an important part in the last 200 years, is the notion that the people shouldn't have to trust the government, but we set up checks and balances to ensure that we don't have a tyrannical government, that one that overreaches. So it's not good sort of hygiene of a civic society to create the powers that could be tremendously misused.
So are there cases where the NSA should be listening to someone, tracking their metadata? And if so, what kind of checks and balances would you want to see in place when that happens?
You know, so the last time the NSA very publicly got out of hand and started exceeding their authority, this led to the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act of the 1970s. And that was designed to limit what they were doing to spy on the spies. The term was agent of a foreign power. And so it followed a process which would enable them to conduct surveillance for foreign intelligence purposes on agents of foreign powers. And that was successful for some time in reigning in the NSA, but of course now we've gone far beyond that.
And so what would you like to go back to the model that worked then?
Yeah, go back to a model where the NSA is restricted in its ability to surveil, do bulk collection, to surveil on innocent civilians, instead are focusing on agents of a foreign power.
We'll go back to callers now. We have Drew with us in La Crosse. Drew, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to make a distinction that previous callers actually already made the difference between collecting metrics and collecting data. When it comes to collecting metrics, you're collecting, for example, someone's eye color, and the data would be everything about someone. And in the business world, we've been doing this for since big data became a concept. And it is a really powerful thing. We can collect patterns about people, determine facets of their life that you can't see just by examining one phone call. For example, through Target's limited system, in 2012, they had an issue where their automatic metric system was able to determine someone was pregnant before the father found out because of what products they searched, and comparing that to registry of women who have signed up for baby showers on their website. It's really kind of powerful things, and it definitely is something that as technology gets more and more advanced and the ability to collect data for cheaper and cheaper rises, something that needs to be addressed and limited because it can't completely capture someone's life. All right, I'm going to hang up on this
right
one now.
Thanks for the call, Drew. Kurt, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, the metrics are very important. It can be very invasive if people are using these metrics. And one of the things that, you know, it comes up in these debates is, well, you know, if companies are being able to collect all this information, well, why shouldn't the government? And the important distinction is that the companies can't put you in jail. They don't have the police power. They don't have this kind of the authority that a government does. And that's why we have to be extra careful about when the government can have access to this kind of very invasive data.
Kurt, before we're done, a lot of what we've talked about relates to domestic surveillance, American citizens. A lot of the revelations from Edward Snowden's documents relate to foreign leaders, among others. Is that something you're tracking at the Electronic Frontier Foundation and something you're worried about?
Absolutely. We also are concerned about people throughout the world and that ordinary civilians of all stripes are being surveilled under these programs instead of a more focused program that is looking at agents of a foreign power. But even when they have been looking at, political figures of foreign powers, what we've seen lately is that 35 world leaders of people who were supposedly allies of the United States have been surveilled, and this has caused major diplomatic incidents, ongoing right now. And one of the things we recently learned was that Obama is saying he was not aware that the NSA was surveilling some of these leaders.
All right, Kurt, thanks a lot for joining us today. Appreciate it.
All right, my pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Kurt Opsahl, Senior Staff Attorney for the Electronic Frontier Foundation.
Coming up next, we're talking to an author of a book on the photographic history of the war in Vietnam. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time.